We got Ray Ferraro on the line joining us on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. I believe you were flying yesterday. Did you get to watch Tiger or what?
I watched, I landed, I got off the plane, I raced to the TV that was about 100 meters away, and saw him walking off the 18th green.
That's a bummer.
Disappointed.
Do you know what Jonas did yesterday, Ray?
Trivia.
No, he didn't. He had a choice of watching Tiger, Blue Jays preseason, or Raptors Knicks. And that
was a choice?
Well, that's what we said. He did not watch 1 minute of Tiger. How disappointed are you?
Well, I guess he could have been sitting with Noodles, who wouldn't have known which end of the club to hit the ball with. But like the story of Noodles riding around in a golf cart at Pebble Beach and not playing, still just...
I know.
I think he did that at St. Andrews, too.
You're right. It was St. Andrews. That's right.
Hey. Yeah.
But Jonas, what did you watch? Preseason baseball?
It's called spring training, Ray.
And is that what you watch?
A little bit. I wanted to see if Donaldson would play. I just traded for him in fantasy baseball. So,
but when he wasn't playing, what else was there to watch?
Well, I watched a little Joe Biagini.
Okay.
Then I flipped over to Raps, watched their bench. You know.
Listen, I love the Raps, and I love where they're at right now. But them playing the Knicks, as I said, that's a formality.
I didn't watch the fourth quarter.
There's really no need to watch.
Just think if Jonas was your roommate, and that... You would have to stuff him into a laundry hamper if that was his choices to watch yesterday.
Yeah, that would have been reminiscent of when I was a kid. I have two sisters growing up, and whoever got into the house and said, like, calling dibs on the TV, that kid got it. And I'd be like, are you kidding me? And my sisters would be watching Full House or whatever, which I enjoyed from time to time, too. Let's be serious. But if there was a big sporting event, and I'm like 14 or 15, and they just happen to call dibs... Like, you need judges and juries and stuff for that kind of stuff. Because it's unacceptable.
And you know they'd call it just to bug you.
Oh, yeah. They didn't have anything they wanted to watch. Just to bother me as much as possible. We were talking about Mitch Marner in the previous hour, and Jonas keeps writing about him, and you have no new material for Mitch because you've written everything about him. But we were discussing just the tale of two seasons for Marner because... First half, he just didn't put up very good numbers, and at times he looked as if he was kind of overcome by the moment and couldn't find his game. But now this kid's on fire, and he's still a kid. I mean, it's his second year, but he's only 20 or 21, and the numbers he's putting up are huge. He's probably going to end the year up with about 25 goals and 70 points. I mean, what do you make of this kid?
Well, at the start, I thought he looked really, you know, not – because he was scoring, but the byproduct of not scoring was that he looked really young, that you could see he was stressed. He'd come back to the bench and could see the frustration just kind of dripping out of him. And then whatever changed, well, you know, all of a sudden if you go back to the start, when he got hot, he got a couple of goals in quick succession. And then it was like his mojo came back. And he started to hang on to the puck in the offensive zone again. He seemed a little quicker, seemed more sure with the puck. He is shooting it far more, you know, as we see. And you know, Jonas, you've written about that, you know, like when he gets it, he thinks shot or looks shot far quicker than he did in the past. Man, he's a creator. He's kind of a right-handed Patrick Kane, really. I mean, the styles are very similar to me.
So Ray, we were talking earlier just about that second year in the league. So go back to your second year in the league. You come into the league, you know, it's fresh for you. The opponents don't know you. What happens in that second year for a player and for you specifically as the league is adjusting to you and they go, geez, this guy's pretty good, and they challenge you in different ways, and then you got to adjust, you know, with respect to, you know, getting your game back in order to where it was in your rookie year?
The biggest problem most of us have, second-year guys have, is your mind gets in the way. So I played 44 games my rookie season. The next year, played a full year. I had 77 points, I think. The next year, which is really my second full year, I had 59. And the reason I say your head gets in the way, I just, you know, I expected, and because you want to always achieve, I wanted to have a better year than I had the first year. And then it became apparent pretty quickly that I wasn't going to. You know, I mean, to average over a point a game, you have to be, you can't have too many slumps. And I had a slow start, and all of a sudden you're behind the eight ball. Now you start to stress. You start to try some things that basically are cheating offensively to try and create a chance or two, and that doesn't work, then your ice time goes down because you're not productive, and now you're in a hole. And the biggest challenge, I think, is to, you know, is just to try and keep yourself aggressive but level-headed. I mean, look at Nylander at the start of the year. Same thing. Man, he was coming back to the bench. He looked totally defeated as he got back there, and then all of a sudden he got an empty net goal or something, and the puck started to go a little bit more for him. But they're fighting themselves more, or just as much as they're fighting the rest of the league.
Well, and then you got a guy like Matthews, who's a step above them in terms of just overall impact and talent and just being a spectacular player. Yet he's had more curveballs to deal with this year than Marner or Nylander. Mm-hmm. Like Marner, it was, again, he didn't put up points, and maybe it was a bit of a mental grind, and Nylander the same thing. Matthews dealing with physical issues, and this is the third lengthy injury he's had to deal with, and he's not going to play on Wednesday. I can't imagine he would play on Thursday, maybe Saturday versus the Habs, but at that point we're talking less than 10 games left in the regular season and the real stuff beginning in less than a month. The first two he came back from maybe took him a couple of games to get going, but eventually he looked like himself again. Any concerns from your standpoint, Ray, that this third one just could get him and we won't see the real Matthews again?
Not yet. I mean, if this lingers another, you know, it doesn't sound like it, but if it was going to linger five or seven more games and he was going to be out 15 and then play two before he started, yeah, I'd be worried about that. I'd be worried about his conditioning and his timing. He's going to have plenty of time. You know, if the time frame is Saturday, you know, thereabouts, you know, he's going to have plenty of time to, you know, to get everything kind of back in gear. But a couple of years ago, I had a really cool conversation with Adam Oates. Mike Green was playing in Washington still, and Oates was talking about the difficulties that he saw as a coach for Green, that he'd play 15 games, get hurt, and miss a significant period of time, and then this went on for a couple of years. He'd get hurt again, and he's like, every time he got hurt, it was like a new training camp for him, but everybody had moved farther down the road. And so that's the danger when you get hurt multiple times in a year, is that you know, the guys are kind of moving to the next level of where their games are, of where their compete is, like how hard they compete during the game. That gets greater and greater as the year goes on, and you're just trying to catch up. And maybe it's different for a player like Matthews, but for most guys, it becomes a real challenge.
Well, and Ray, Babcock's contention is that in this case, unlike the last one, he's been able to skate, so he's able to keep his conditioning up, whereas with the concussion, like, he was off the ice for a while. So do you think that maybe helps him in this case?
Oh, conditioning-wise, for sure. However, you know, like, just think of when a team gets a break, 5-6 days off, and they get a couple of days of rest, and then they skate hard, and they come out, and in the first period, they stink. They're terrible. Happens all the time. And it's because even though you're in shape, and you're rested, and you feel good, you're just not ready to play. You just, you know, like, maybe your reaction's not quick enough, your decisions with the puck aren't quick enough. So, this shouldn't be an issue for him, because he's been able to work out and certainly to skate, but there's another step that he's going to have to go through, and I think that's the benefit of having, 10 or so games left, that he's going to get to handle the puck and find out, you know, in his mind's eye, oh yeah, that's how much time I have. Oh, I've got to go quicker than this. He'd turn a puck over and then figure out, oh no, I got to go quicker than that. So I don't really have too much worry about it. I would worry more if it was a knee or, you know, something like that, that it would be a little more difficult. But once he's healthy and they know he can bang around and not be worried about it, I don't have too much concern that it'll be a problem for him.
Well, I think Scheifele's in a bit of a different situation because he's had two problems, mm-hmm, with that shoulder, right? And they're saying it's not the exact same injury, but it's the same shoulder, and that has to play on your mind a little bit if you're Mark Scheifele. If you're coming back, you just, how do you not, just based on human instinct, kind of stiffen up a little bit if someone's coming to hit you? You know, change your approach to going into the corner. I mean, when you have two injuries like that over the course of a month, month and a half, or I guess a little bit more than that, that's got to affect, or you have to believe it could affect Mark Scheifele once he does return.
Well, I can't imagine he'll be really comfortable. You know, you get cleared and everything's fine, and the doctors say you're good, but you're nervous. You can say until you get banged around again, but it's when you don't expect to get hit, that's the test of whether, in this case, his shoulder's okay. You know, when you get, look at how he got hurt this time. Him and Wheeler run together and something kind of erratic and, you know, odd. And now he's hurt again. But they've got a 6-point cushion with a game in hand on Minnesota. So they've got some time to not have to think about getting him back in either. And so their playbook has to be caution more than anything else.
Yeah, I think they're both in the same boat.
Like, yeah, they're not going anywhere. They might, might change. I guess that could change, but they're not going anywhere.
No, you know you're going to the playoffs. You know you got a good team, and you know you need Scheifele and you need Matthews. Like, it's really a carbon copy. You can argue which team's better and which one has the better chance, but they both play the same role on the team. Scheifele is to Winnipeg what Matthews is to Toronto.
100%. And you could also take it one step further, Brian, in that they both know pretty much who they're going to be playing.
Right.
You know, Winnipeg's probably going to play Minnesota, and in Toronto and Boston, have been locked in for 3 years, it seems like.
Well, and that's what's going to be intriguing about the final 3 weeks of the year, because, you know, Babcock's not going to let them off the hook until they truly clinch and they know exactly what's going on. But you have to believe, you know, if they've clinched and they're in with 4 or 5 games left, he's going to scale guys back a little bit, maybe Anderson back, but you might look at a guy like Matthews and say, we got to get him some minutes. He's got to play. So
well,
the game plan will be curious.
Him, right?
No, you can't.
Bubble him. Once he's ready to play, you got to play him. And maybe you don't, you know, if a guy, say Jake Gardner's playing at 25 minutes, maybe you play him at 21 minutes, but you're not going to play him 14. You know, it just never seems to work like that. And for every one time that somebody gets hurt, there's thousands and thousands that nobody ever does. And as you get to towards the end of the year, I think you probably want to spread the guys out a little bit if you can, get them a little bit of rest. But you gotta play them. You can't just have them sitting there. Although when Montreal was winning, they used to send Larry Robinson to down to Florida so he could go to his horse farm for a week. He only started the playoffs with a great tan.
That's a great idea. Well, remember, was it Cleveland that did that with LeBron a couple of years ago?
Yeah, he went to Miami for 2 weeks.
He just left. It's like, I'll see you in a couple of weeks. And it worked.
How about that, eh?
Yeah.
See you later, fellas.
Yeah. We're so good. We're so far into it, and I'm so important that I don't really have to be here right now.
And do you think, I would say Jonas's attention to, what did you call it? Spring training baseball.
You're a Red Sox fan. Shouldn't you know that?
Preseason ball for me. Spring training, preseason. Doesn't matter. When they're stampeding through the Eastern, through the East, it doesn't matter what you call it. Not like, you can cheer for your team, Jonas, and you can.
It'll be a nice wild card for your Red Sox.
Perhaps. But do you think he even knew LeBron that they were playing when he was away for 2 weeks?
No. Gone. See you later.
Who? What was the score? I don't know. I don't even know who they were playing.
What does he care?
Ray, you've got the Ottawa game tonight, right?
Yeah.
So I was just curious. If you were an opposing GM and you were interested in Erik Karlsson this summer, would there be any trepidation in trading for him based on what you've seen this season? Or would you just assume that, he's coming off an injury, a tough year in Ottawa? Or would anything you're seeing now or all year kind of get at you a little bit?
The first part of the year, Jonas would bother me. And then I'd have to take a step back and say, look, he's got a completely rebuilt ankle. I thought his skating was not anywhere near what we're used to seeing with him early in the year. He got beat to the outside. There'd be a little bump on the boards. He'd lose his stride, and you're like, man, that never happens to him. The last little bit, he's been way, way better. It looks like Erik Karlsson. The one thing that doesn't look like Karlsson is, to me, he's totally disengaged from the game. Like, he's just out there right now. He's kind of just skating around. And so I wouldn't be too concerned about how he looks performance-wise right now, I don't think, because I think I would have in my head that he's just trying to get to the end of the year. It's been a miserable year. So don't get me wrong. It's not like he's not trying. He's not, but he's not 100% invested. And I see that. You see that with lots of players, eh, Craig? When you get towards the end of the year, and they're in the game, but they're just not invested in it. And that's what it looks like for Karlsson for me.
Yeah, no, and you got to be real careful in how you evaluate them in that regard too. You know, because I mean, he's what is he got? He's got 50 points. I looked and just saw the other day he's up to 50 points, and you know, tells you how good he is. He can do it by accident.
Yeah, the one thing I would be, you know, you can't take one away from the other. I'd be nervous about paying anybody 8 years and $100 million. Uh-huh. Like, more than anything else, like, it's such a commitment, and it puts such a dent in your cap, and it shapes and defines the course of your team for the next 8 years.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Ray.
Someone's going to pay it, though. It may not be 8 years if he's a free agent. It'll be seven, but someone's going to pay it.
Right.
Anyway.
Right.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it tonight. We'll do it again tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Are you guys all back tomorrow? Like, I see everybody's deserted.
Yeah, Noodles is back. O's on March break.
Okay. Do you realize, Brian, you came back and everybody left?
Yeah.
Are you aware of that?
Is that a coincidence, or are you saying that I'm the cause of it?
I think we need to do some investigation to this, but I think you're the cause.
Yeah, I might be. I wear that as a badge of honor. I'm fine with that.
Ray, I think he just has to ask himself the question. That's where the examination begins.
Is it my problem? Is it my fault? I don't care. These guys can come back when they want to. I like working with Craig and Jonas.
I think that's very evident, too.
Yeah, I'm in a good mood today. Even with the clocks moving up, I got to say, man, my body clock, completely out of whack. Completely out of whack. And I am milking it. Like, I put in 5 hours watching Tiger yesterday, and when my wife asked me 45 times over the course of those 5 hours, I just said, body clock, it's just a little bit off. A little bit off.
Now, did your wife ask you how much longer? And you said, probably 30 minutes. How many times did you say that?
Yeah, when he was on the 9th hole, the 12th hole, the 15th hole, and even on 18. It's about a half an hour.
It's just about done. It's just about done.
Need to watch the post-game routine, too. Anyway.
Awesome. Talk to you tomorrow, guys.
All right. There's Ray Ferraro on Overdrive, brought to you by Valiant Financial. For fast approvals and competitive payment options on heavy equipment from any dealer, visit valiantfinancial.ca.